And I want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning from our website, psmchurch.com. We're so glad that you're here. Maybe you're catching this on an archive weeks from now, years from now. We believe that God's with you wherever you're watching, whenever you're watching. Some of you may be actually listening to this on a podcast. We're glad that you're here. Let's give all them a hand right now that's listening or watching and welcome them. We welcome you guys. So it's back to school weekend, and I want to just speak specifically to parents, students, teachers. Some of you are grandparents. You got grandparents, grandkids going to school. Some of you may have neighbors. You don't have your own kids going to school, but you have neighbors. There might be some of you in here today that you don't have anything to do with school. You don't have kids. You're not in school. You're not a teacher. And you might feel left out today. Don't feel left out. Please, everybody say, aww. We need you to pray is what we need you to do. We need everybody in here that is not personally involved in school. We need your intercessory prayers. We call it standing in the gap. We need your prayers. We need your help because we got a whole lot of people that are going into this uncharted water of school and homeschool, public school, private school, trade school. Universities. We're thankful that you're here and that you are getting an education. That's a great thing. We value education here, but we understand that going back to school is like, at the same time. You know, there's something about school that's so exciting, and then there's something about going back to school that's so frightening at the same time. So, we need prayer, we need God, and we want to take God with us when we go into the classrooms, into the hallways, on the athletic fields, into the band halls, or the theaters, the drama theaters, or whatever of environment. School buses. We have some bus drivers at Promised Land, and we need to pray for the bus drivers because that can be a scary place. I rode the bus for many years. I know from kindergarten to eighth grade, I rode the public bus, and man, there was nothing like that. Just crazy after school, you know, kids are going crazy, bouncing out, hanging out the windows, and the poor school bus drivers trying to follow all the rules and stop at all the stop signs and stop at the railroad, all those different things. And so we want to pray for safety. We want to pray for sanity on everybody that's going back to school. So I grew up in the area. I grew up just up the road in Buda. I went to Buda Elementary. And any other folks go to Buda Elementary? Yeah, Bulldogs, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Old campus up top. Yeah, you too. Man, that school was built back in the 20s or something, the 1920s, 1930s. And I'm not that old, all right, but that's when it was built. And so when I went there, it was elementary, it was K through 5th, and I have vivid memories of kindergarten, which I think was in 1980 or 1981. So 35 years ago, I went to kindergarten. I have vivid memories like it was yesterday. I can remember the classroom, I can remember the setting, and I can remember how much I hated going to school. I hated going to school. I want to be at home. I want to be playing. I want to be doing anything else but going to school. And so I would try all these tactics to not be able to go to school. Mom, I know you're listening, so just pretend like you're not hearing this right now. But I would, you know, maybe fake an earache here and there or something just to try to say, can I stay home? I don't have to go to school today. And I remember Miss Shelton. She was my kindergarten teacher. She would put us to nap. There was nap time in kindergarten. After lunch, we would get in from the cafeteria, and anybody else have nap time in kindergarten? Oh, man, that's what we need to reestablish. Come on, at your workplace, nap time after lunch, that'd be awesome. Well, when you're in kindergarten, you do not want to take a nap when you're in kindergarten, and she would try to get us all to lay down on our mats, and we'd all be wiggling around and everything, and then she had this tactic to get us to go to sleep. She would put on a Ronnie Millsap record. So we would be listening to Ronnie Millsap. We'd be fighting and fighting. But when we'd hear him start singing, we'd all just until this day when I hear him, I think about taking a nap in kindergarten. It's so, so weird. But I remember that so clearly, taking a nap time. And sometimes, you know, some parts of it's fun, though. You get to buy new clothes. You get to buy new pencils. You get to pick out your little pencil box. You get to pick out your backpack. And I remember, you know, finding the coolest backpack and the coolest Trapper Keeper and, you know, the spirals with all the things on them, He-Man or Harlem Globetrotters or whatever we could find, you know, that was the cool thing. And so it was a fun time and it was a scary time. It was an exciting time and it was a difficult time at the same time. I remember having a metal lunchbox. Y'all remember metal lunchboxes? We didn't have these soft canvas things like we got today. No, we had metal mailboxes. We had metal mailboxes. We also had metal lunchboxes. I had a Pac-Man metal lunchbox with the old thermos with the big soup lid on it. And that thing was so tough and so rugged that you could, I mean, you could do anything with that thing. Stand on it, play on it, hit somebody with it if they were mean to you on the bus or whatever. That thing could survive a natural disaster. My mom still has it. I wish I would have had it, brought it. Okay, I'll post a picture this week of my metal Pac-Man lunchbox. But anyway, those are the memories, and I think about them, and just kind of cold chills. And then I think we have a picture. Let's look at Kindergarten Robin up here. Yeah, there I am. Boom. Kind of looks like my kids. My kids kind of look like, but I wish I still had that shirt. That's a really cool shirt. Did my hair, always like to do my hair, have it just right. And as I would grow up and get older, nothing really changed. In fact, we have a picture of me going into the freshman year. Check out this picture of me heading to the freshman year. That's game time right there. I'm ready for action. I'm ready for the ninth grade. My sister is behind me. That's my sister, Lori. She's 2 years older than me. We're like, yeah, we're the Steels, and we're about to take over Hayes High School right now. Rolling up in our 92 Dodge Shadow. We were so cool. We were so cool. If you look at the double belt. Have you noticed the double belt? The double belt, if you were really cool, you would cross the belts in the back and switch them in the back. It was just, these look like Z Cavaricci pants. Y'all remember Z Cavaricci? They're not. They're fake, okay? My mom would not buy the real ones. These are fake. We did not shop at Dillard's or Foley's or anything like that. We shopped at Mervyn's. Come on, somebody. Mervyn's. Solo Serve. Any Solo Serves out there? Yeah. Service merchandise. Anyway, that was us that we were trying to fit in. We did pretty good. There's something that's so interesting, though. You could have everything just right, and then the complexity of school would hit. The social difficulty of school would hit. And you could have everything right. You could have your high tops on. I remember when I was in high school, the Reebok pump shoes came out. You could pump up your high tops. And so we would have them all pumped up, and we'd have our pants folded over like that, and then we'd fold them up like this, real tight, get that tight peg leg. If you went to school and your pants were baggy on the bottom, you were such a nerd. But if you went like this, come on, you were so cool. When you went to school, don't be raising your eyebrows over there. This is, y'all look just as goofy now. Skinny jeans, come on. All right. Anyway, you could have your shoes just right, your pants just right, your shirt just right, your hair just right. You get everything just right, and then you wake up the first morning of school and have one pimple on your face. And everything is just like the world has ended because of one pimple on your face. And as a guy, I can't wear makeup, right? So guys have it pretty rough. And I had pretty bad acne when I was growing up. So, man, school was a tough place to be when you can't fit in. So school can be fun on one side when you're playing sports and you're doing well and everybody likes you, but then on this other social side and you're struggling with how you look and your body's changing and you got hormones going on and there's this difficult. Okay, I'm gonna have to take these down now because I just cannot. Those of you on a podcast, you need to watch the video this week. That's all I got to say. Anyway, so there's this difficult times. I remember the first day of sixth grade. We were in PE class, and it's the first year. Sixth grade is the first year that you have separated boys and girls PE. And, you know, you have the locker rooms. You have to take showers and all that kind of stuff. It's just weird, and you've never been around other people without your clothes on. And now you're in a locker room. It's just you don't, this is just weird. Why do we have to do PE, you know? And so there's boys' side and a girls' side. And I'll never forget the first day we're sitting in Dahlstrom Middle School on the bleachers, and all the boys were on one side of the gym, and all the girls were on the other side of the gym. And they were calling a roll first day of school to make sure everybody was there. And they called out all the boys on the list, and they didn't call my name out. And I'm sitting there wondering why they didn't call my name out, and it's kind of silent on our side. And then I hear them calling out the names on the girl's side. Y'all know where I'm going with this. They said, Robin Steele. Robin Steele. It was like Bueller. But it was in PE, and all the girls are laughing because they all know me, you know, and all the boys hear it. They're all laughing at me over here, and so I've been in therapy for the last 25 years trying to deal with my name. Anyway, you just don't forget those kind of things. I was talking to Erica last night. She told me about a time when she was doing school pictures and her mom dressed her up. And Erica, grab a mic and tell the story because I can't really tell this story, but it was back to school pictures, yes. Like we were talking about, yes. And you were ready. What happened?
So I had already, this was my fifth grade year. I was very cool. I had my style going on, and my mom is wonderful, and I love her.
She's here.
And she's somewhere. Here today. But she decided that she needed to help me for school pictures in the fall. And let me just tell you, I started out the year with a perm. My hair was good. I had my red Converse. I was dressed nice. But for school pictures, my mother decided, she got me this awesome dress. It wasn't awesome to me, but it was awesome to her. It was knit fabric. It had zigzag geometric yellow pattern all over it. And to top it off, it had a ruffle around the waist. That was not my style either. So I was sent to school in this dress, and the icing on the cake was that she put rollers in my beautiful permed hair and fluffed it up really nicely and sprayed a large amount of hairspray on it. And this was the result.
Check out this picture right here. Yeah. You are beautiful.
There you go.
I just want you to know that.
Rough times.
That is a pretty strange looking dress, but school's hard. So there's parents that are struggling with your babies. Some of you may be releasing your children into the public school system for the very first time. You've had control over them. You've had your eyes on them. You've had the ability to shape exactly everything that's going on. And now you kind of like the idea of having some free time during the day, but at the same time, you're really concerned about where they're going. You're not going to have influence over them like you used to. They're going to be out of your watch for a while. You'll have a few minutes in the morning getting them ready, and you'll have a couple hours in the evening after they get home from school. But there's so much hustle and bustle once they get home, homework and playing and eating dinner and going, getting ready for, but there's so much hustle and bustle. So your world is really changing, and as a parent, you can be really concerned about that. We also have parents that are sending your kids to junior high for the first time, where they're going to be talking about all kind of things in junior high and high school, where they're going to be driving around with other kids and being around other environments that are not like your home. And then we have parents, I just met some in the second service that are here from College Station, and they're dropping their freshman son off at Texas State for the first time. And so they're having these anxious feelings about their son being separated from them for a couple hours drive, and launching him out into a secular university where he's going to have all kind of different experiences. So as a parent, you can find a really difficult place this time of year. Then our teachers, our administrators, our people that are helping lead the campuses, you're being put in a situation where you're being overworked and underpaid, and you're responsible for students who have disengaged parents and no values or no discipline like you would discipline in your own home, and you're expected to pull off this miracle. They drop off these kids that are undisciplined and have not the values that you have, and their parents don't even know anything about what's going on. It's too involved in their own life to be engaged with their students. And you're expected to turn them in and make them have great grades and A pluses. And they're supposed to ace the tests, the state exams, and be great and get into college and do all these things. And teaching, research shows that teaching is in one of the top three occupations that cause greater than normal stress. So there's so many anxious feelings about going back to school, going into a new environment. I love that song that we sang today about oceans, because that's really what this is all about. Going into school is like a microcosm of life. So even when you graduate and you're done with school, you're still going to be presented with these same type of situations where you have to go into an unknown. And there's going to be good things about that unknown. There's going to be challenging times about that unknown. And so it's really good if you can kind of get it right now. If you can understand what it's like now to take God with you. To take God with you, whether you're a parent, whether you're a student, whether you're an administrator, teacher, custodian, cafeteria, wherever, whatever you're doing. If you can take God with you, you'll be in a whole different posture and position than if you try to do it by yourself. And so I got good news for you. No matter who you are, where you are, how far away you are from home, the good news is that God is going to be with you this year. Deuteronomy 21:8 says, "Do not be afraid or anxious, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you." Now, the book of Deuteronomy was written to God's people, the Israelites, as they were going into the promised land. This is this ocean that they were going into. This is the unknown that they were going into. Great promises in this land, but also great giants in this land. Great big fruit, grapes the size of your head, land of milk and honey, but also giants live in this land. Very much like going to public school. Some great things going on, some big cavernous difficulties going on at the same time. But his promise to the ones going into that land was, do not be afraid. No matter what you face, I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to abandon you. But I love this word. It says, the Lord will personally go ahead of you. And that's exactly what God does in Jesus Christ. When God comes to the planet and he's robed in our flesh, he's a man like we are, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when he comes into this world, he is facing the world ahead of us. He is dealing with the world ahead of us. So he is winning the battle over evil before we ever get into the school system. He has defeated the weapons of the enemy before we ever even pick one up ourselves. He has gone before us. And so he has literally gone before us. And he's going to be literally going before you this week. He's going to be in the quad before you ever get there. Before you ever get off the Bobcat tram, he's going to be there. He's going to be in your biology class. He's going to be in your public speaking class. He's going to be in the cafeteria. He's going to be on the athletic field. He's going to be in the school bus. He's going to be at work before you ever get there. He's in your email before you ever log on. before you ever turn on your phone or before you ever turn on your computer. God is in all places at all times. He is there before you get there. Rest in that today. If you don't get anything else today, rest in the fact that God is going before you. He is setting it up ahead of you, and He will never fail you or abandon you. No matter what you face, no matter what you come up against, when you came to the front today and we laid hands on you and we prayed for you, we believe in all of our heart that something spiritually transpired in that moment. This is not just a ritual. This is not just to make us feel like we did something spiritual or religious or to make God pleased with us. We literally believe that when we prayed for you, that something was transferred onto you, into you. The Spirit of God, the anointing, the blessing of God was literally transferred from heaven into earth. Heaven and earth coming together. He gives us the instructions to pray in Scripture. He says, if there's any sick among you, if there's any troubled among you, if there's anybody going back to school among you, bring them to the elders of the church, let them lay hands on them, anoint them, and pray, and God will be with them. He will heal them. He will make the difference in their lives. So we're believing, and we're putting our faith and our trust in God's word and what He has done already, that when we prayed for you today, something began to transpire inside of you. And we believe it's just the beginning. That what we take and leave out of these doors with is going to shape the rest of our school year and ultimately the rest of our life, and even further beyond that, our eternity. Whenever we are prayed for and with by someone that's also another believer and we come together, the Bible says wherever two or three agree as touching any one thing, He is in our midst. He's hearing our prayer, and He will answer those prayers. And that's what we believe happened. That's why we do it. We do it because we believe that it matters. And so what I want to share with you today is how that's going to work. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew 5:13. And this is a passage that I quote almost every single Sunday as you're walking out these doors. So for those of you that have been around here for a while, you're going to recognize this passage if you haven't read it yourself, just because you've heard me say this all the time. But there's a lot of you that haven't heard it taught, and it brings a whole lot of depth to what we're going to have at school with us this year, at work with us this year, at our homes. You are the salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So as you came into the building today and you came up to the front, and as we laid hands on you and prayed for you, what we did was by the power of God's Spirit, we elevated your salt level, your saltiness. And so that when you go out of this place, you're going to be that salty type folks. We're going to get to that in a second. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. First of all, God goes with me wherever I go because I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be salty. Be salty. There it is. I'm going to be salty. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you salty? That's kind of awkward. Okay, let's keep on moving. We're going to be salty. Now, it's really hard for me to convey the power of this concept in modern day times because we have salt everywhere. I mean, in my house, we have like four different kinds of salt. We have Himalaya pink salt. We got black sea lava salt from the mountains or the volcanoes of Hawaii. We've got the ocean salts from France. We've got the basic table salt. Anyway, we got salt everywhere. and salt is prevalent in our world today, but back in Jesus' time, salt was something that wars were fought over. Salt was not prevalent, and salt was extremely valuable because salt extended the life of food. They didn't have freezers and refrigerators and Yetis back then. They didn't have all that stuff. They had to use salt to cure the meat and to preserve it over a long period of time. Plus, the application that he uses is that it changes the taste of food. There's actually something that transpires when the ingredients of salt, the sodium, goes into the food and is melted into the food, inserted into the food. There's transactions that happen inside of that food, and the salt transforms the food. And for it to be valuable, it doesn't really taste salty. If you put too much salt on it, then it tastes salty. That is not the point of salt. The point of salt is to bring out the good flavors that are in there already. And so that's what he's trying to tell us. And people would, if they had salt reserves back in those days, they would fight with the sword to defend those salt reserves. They're so valuable. They would travel hundreds of miles on camels or in boats in order to find salt and bring it back home with them. It was one of the most highly valued commodities of that whole time. And when we went to Israel and we were around the Dead Sea and to experience what it was like to that's so salty, the saltiest body of water in the entire world. And to think about people that would travel across those deserts and just to come to that place and to find the salt and to take it back home with them. That's what Jesus was saying about you when you go back to school. You are so valuable. You're going to be the most highly valued component or element in your classroom. You're going to change the distinction and the flavor of the culture around you. You're going to be different than everybody else. See, there's a lot of imitation and there's a lot of different seasonings out there in our culture today that's adding to the flavor of our world. But there's only one salt. That's the one that comes from God. And he's saying, you're going to be the salt of the culture. You're going to make a difference in the culture. You're going to bring out the good. You're going to elevate the taste. You're going to make a difference wherever you go. Be a life changer. Instead of being the one that's influenced, you're going to be the influencer. Instead of being the one that leaves other people, you're going to be the ones that reaches out to other people. Instead of you being the one that participates in jokes against everybody else, you're going to be the friend that stands closer than anyone else. Encouraging instead of discouraging. Changing the flavor of your culture. That's what Jesus is calling you to do. And that may seem intimidating because you don't even know anybody. You may not know anybody in your class or anybody in your school or anybody in this town. This may be a very big, big thing for you to try to wrap your brain around, especially with all the other things going on in your life. But what I'm here to encourage you with is that God is going to be the one that makes the difference in your life. The power of his Spirit is going to equip you with the power to be the salt. Amen. He's going to be the salt in your life, and you're going to be making a difference in your culture. Second thing he says here is that we're going to be the light. We're salty, and we're going to be the light. This is another analogy that he uses of darkness and light. Verse 14 of Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Now, many of us know that Jesus is the light, and if you haven't realized that, I want to bring you the good news that you don't have to live in a life of darkness any longer. You don't have to kind of keep feeling around for what life means or what the purpose of life is, but when Jesus comes into your life, he illuminates what godly purpose really is, what you're here born on this earth to accomplish, to give God glory, to take care of the earth that he's put under your fingertips and your path that you're to walk. He wants you to glorify him. He's got a great purpose. He's illuminating the darkness. When Jesus comes in, it changes everything. He is the light. And I love, there's a There's a verse in John, the first chapter, that says the light was coming into the world. When Jesus was born, it says the light was coming into the world. And what I want you to get a vision of is that Jesus is not going to just be the light all in of himself, but look at what he says. He says, now because of me, you are the light of the world. He doesn't even say you're like the light of the world or you reflect the light of the world. He is so bold in this by saying, you are the light. Jesus is not going to be walking into your classroom in a physical body, in a robe. My friends, I've come to, you know, bless this class. He's not going to do that. But you are going to walk in that room. Don't wear a robe, okay? Wear whatever's cool, you know? But you are going to be in that room. You are the one walking in. And so what he's telling you is, because you're the one walking in, I am commissioning you. I am ordaining you. I am equipping you for you to be the light. You are the light. I think the emphasis on that text is not are the light of the world. None of those words. The emphasis is you. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. It's you. Me? Oh my goodness. Yes, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to equip you. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep getting in the light before you go to school. Read your word before you get to school. Pray before you get to school. Pray before you go to work in the morning. Get in the light. Get in the light before you face your day. Get in the word. Read the word of God. Let it get into your life before you face the consequences. Get in the light so you can shine the light. Get in the light so you can shine the light. The world is dark because of sin, because of separation from God. And the world is dark, but he is sending you into the world, and he has overcome the world. He's sending you as a messenger, as a representative of Jesus to make a difference, to be salt and to be light. And I want to encourage you today, if you feel like your light is just a little flicker, just a little bitty flame that, I'm about to go into a massive, you know, you feel like you're a little bitty candle and you feel like your school and your environment that you're about to go into is Slitterbond. And you're this little bitty candle that's got to survive as it makes its way from one side of Slitterbond to the other. No, I'm praying and believing that what happened here this morning is going to ignite you in a way that you've never been ignited before, that you're going to be equipped and ready to face this school. And our church is here as a body to help you and fan that little flicker into a great big flame. And so we offer all kind of ways to help you with that. And one is our student ministry. If you're junior high or high school students, we have small groups on Wednesday nights specifically for them. And then we have a big worship service just for junior high and high school students that we're launching. That's going to be going simultaneously on first Wednesday worship while the adults are in here. The junior high and high school students are going to go and be in the theater having a massive worship service at the same time. And then when they outgrow that, they may come over here and the adults will have to find somewhere else to go. We may go out back or we might go whatever, but we're believing that the student ministry is going to blow up in here and that there's going to be a wildfire going on, not just a little flicker. And then for Texas State students, young adults, we have a table set up. Go meet Pastor Albert out at the table. You'll see the flag, the Texas Bobcat flag and all that out there. Sign up. Just give us either your Twitter, your Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever. We want to connect with you. We're doing several different types of events for students that are young adults. One is some Bible studies that we have going on, small group Bible studies. We also have groups that continue to meet throughout the semester that are athletically based, like a jogging students group. We also have fishing and all different kind of things going on for interest. But we also just have spontaneous meetups for college students. So we'll be going down to Ray's Ice Cream or going down play volleyball at Sewell Park or whatever. And so we want you to get connected with other students at Promised Land so that you can start being around other people, start being around people that are going in the same direction. Because what I told those parents earlier, I said, you know, I believe it doesn't matter what school you go to, you can party at that school or you can be a leader. You can be full of God or you can be full of whatever else is out there. Every single school, whether it's private or whether it's public, whether it's Christian or whether it's secular, it doesn't matter what group of people, you can find some bad people in that group. And you can find a lot of them at Texas State. Right? So it's up to you. It's your choice. You can pick whatever group you want to be a part of. And basically, you take the summary or the average of all the friends you're hanging out with. That's you. Oh, I'm going to be different. I'm going to help them. Okay. Well, what we want to try to encourage you to do is get around some believers, and you're going to reach out to unbelievers. You're going to make a difference with the people that don't believe. You're going to be a light in a dark world, but you need to make sure you have a good, strong foundation. You need to be around some godly people, some friends that are going to help you, point you in the right direction. Can I get an amen from some parents up in here? Yes. All right, so let me tell you about this, and then we're going to end. So when Jesus was talking to them, they were very aware of the of this next thing that he said. He was trying to convey to them, like, you know, traveler, he was thinking travelers in our day and time, and this is, you know, back at 0 or 30 AD or whatever, you know, 2,000 years ago, basically. Travelers would be traveling from one home to the next or from one area, region of the country to another region of the country, and they didn't have secure vehicles unless you're extremely wealthy. They were mainly walking from one side of the region to the other side, or maybe if they had a donkey, they could ride a donkey. But it's very rough terrain, and it was not safe. They couldn't pack a whole lot of food for several days' journey. They might pack a little bit of bread that may last the whole way. They may try to kill an animal on some side of the road or whatever and try to make it, but they were often lonely. They're often hungry. They're often cold. They're often scared that they're about to be robbed because there was not the type of policing that we have today and the law that we have today and highway patrolmen and all that. Instead, there was just a bunch of people all over the place that were thieves and murderers. And so if you were traveling a long distance, those are all the elements that you were thinking about, was your safety. Where can I find water? Where can I find food? Where can I find a good, safe place to sleep at night? And so as you were traveling along and you looked up, you could see a cluster of lights on top of a hill, and you would know back in those days that that was a city. And if you could get up the hill to the city, you would find safety. Somebody would welcome you into their home and you could stay the night with them. They would give you something to eat, something to drink. You would find safety in the walls of that city. And the way that they knew that their cities were around there is because they were always up on a hill and they are always lit up at night. And so they would look for the hilltops where the cities were because they knew that was a place of refuge. And that's exactly what Jesus finishes up this passage by saying. Is he says, you're going to be a refuge. You're going to be a city that's set on a hill. And when a city is set on a hill, you're not embarrassed about it. You're not ashamed about it. You don't try to hide the light. You are proud for everyone to see that you're a safe place. You're a refuge for weary travelers. And that's what I want to encourage everybody in here. You may not, that's a pretty big vision for yourself. You probably don't have that vision for yourself yet, but I want to encourage you to start seeing yourself in that way. A city set on a hill. A refuge. God says you're going to be a refuge. You're going to be a place of safety. You're going to be a place of peace and joy and rest and sustenance. There's going to be friends that you come in contact with that don't have the same resources that you do. They don't have the same home background that you do. There's going to be people that you come in contact with that are going to be like weary travelers. They think they got it all figured out. They put on this persona of being confident. They put on a persona of knowing it all. But down inside of them, they're lost, they're hungry, they're abandoned, they're broken. And you, in a unique way, are going to be able to offer them something that they'd never found before. That's salvation. And that this can be intimidating too for some of you that have never really participated in this, but I want to put you at ease right now. Yes, it is important and it's a big deal, but at the same time, I want to encourage you that God is going to be your source of strength in this. If you will allow him to, he will give you the words to say. You might have to step out and say something when you're not really comfortable with it, but if you will step out in faith, God is going to be there for you and give you the words to say when you need to say them. Scripture is very clear that he's going to provide for us what to say, when to say it, and when not to say anything at all. So have a vision for this year. Whatever school you're going into, whatever environment that you're going into, whatever workplace you're going into. Some of you might be looking at retirement like this. Like, it was great when you had a job and you had solid income coming in, but now you're retiring and you don't have that solid income. That's an ocean. That's an unknown. That's a difficult place. Be secured in the fact that God has got it figured out. He's going before you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to abandon you. And I talk to people all the time that are at the bottom of their life. And I love telling them, you're not going to be the first person that God abandons. I'm just telling you, you're not going to be the first one. It feels like you are. It feels like there's nothing going for you right now. It feels like everything's against you. But I'm here to encourage you and lift you up. You're not going to be the first one God abandons. He's going to take care of you. And it doesn't matter who you are. I was just talking to a pastor the other day. There's a friend of mine that pastors here in town. He's had a setback this week. He texted me and said, I had a setback this week and his problem with his building, and he wasn't going to be able to meet in it. And I was like, I know what that's all about because of all these things that are going on here in San Marcos. And I just encouraged him. I said, man, don't worry about this. God's got this under control. 2 years from now, you'll never even remember about this week. The devil's being defeated. He is defeated by Jesus. Live in it. Keep thumping him on the head. Keep glorifying Jesus. Keep on walking down the path. Nothing's going to get you down. You're a godly man. You're doing what's right. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. And then wouldn't you know, yesterday, all within about a 60-minute span, I got 3 different things bombarding me about the church, about my life, and all this, and I was in the same condition. I was like, man, I can't believe it. One of them was it was going to rain 18 inches overnight, and we were going to have to cancel church, and everything was going to be flooded, and we're going to have to be cleaning up. I mean, the news loves the rain, don't they? I mean, they're like, they have us flooded out before the clouds even get here. And so that I was dealing with that bad news, and something else happened, and something else happened. I said, man, I need to text myself right now. And that's really what we got to do sometime. Be awesome if you had a friend that can text you and call you and hug you and email you and say, hey, it's going to be all right. But sometimes they can't be found. You got to do it yourself. You got to build up your faith praying in the Spirit, being ready. So before you even get to the school, before you wake, or after you wake up, you got to wake up first. Wake up before you get on the bus or get in the car or get in the classroom or the hallway. Say, Lord, I want to be the salt in this environment, in Wallace, in Miller, at Texas State, in the business school, in the athletic department, in the drama department, and in all these areas. How many know every part of school is a drama department also? I mean, the whole thing, the whole school is a drama department. Anyway, let's stand to your feet right now. Let's pray. I want to encourage you. I want to pray a prayer right now. You can pray with me. Please do. You can use your own words, or you can use the words I'm using if you're new to prayer and not sure how to do it. But what we're going to do is surrender to God, and then we're just going to invite him into our life, okay? That's what we're going to do. We just say, Lord Jesus, come into our life today. We surrender our heart to you right now. We humbly come before you and say, we're sorry for the things we've done that's not of you. Please forgive us of everything in our life that's not of you. Please forgive us of our sin. Please forgive us for everything that has separated me from you. I recognize, Jesus Christ, that I will never be able to save myself. I recognize, Jesus, that you are the only one that's able to save me and cleanse me and help me and move me forward. Jesus, I recognize today that you're my only hope. You're the only way I'm able to accomplish anything, Jesus. Fill me with your love. Fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your light. I want to be the light. I want to be the salt. I want to be the city set on a hill. Equip me today. Empower me today. Fill me today with everything that I need to follow your plan and take you with me wherever I go. Take you with me wherever I go. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you will do this. And your kingdom will be blessed. Your kingdom will be built. And no weapon that the enemy has formed or fashioned against us shall prosper. No divisive thought. No evil thought. No temptation will be too strong for us to fall in. God, you'll always give us a way out. Lord, let us always see the way out that you provide for us, your kids, and able to live the life that you've called us to live. A purpose-filled, gospel-centered life that's all about you. Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands to him right now? Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, I want to remind you that in 3 weeks, is that right, Mike? Is it 3 Sundays from now? 4. 21 days, we're going to launch a brand new campus in Lockhart, Texas, which is about 20 miles from here. So it's honestly a date you'll remember. You're not going to forget this. It's September 11th, and what we're going to do is we're going to turn that day into something to celebrate, and it's going to be a transformational day in Lockhart. We're planning Promised Land campus there. And listen, the door is still open for anybody in here that wants to be a part of that launch team. We need to open the doors with a healthy group of people from this church here that would like to make that their normal campus. It's not a new church or a different church. It's the same church as a new location and a new service time. It'll be 10:30, one service over in Lockhart, 10:30 at Lockhart Junior High. We're going to school, and it's going to be awesome over there. Pastor Mike Hollyfield is our campus pastor, and we do have about 100 people that are part of our launch team right now over there, but we're believing that this is going to be a transformational time. So if you're interested in being a part of that team, come see him. We need help with children's ministry. We need help with greeters. We need help with parking lot team. Maybe you're a musician. As you can see, we needed more drummers. I mean, Lacey's a great drummer, but we can't have Lacey in the drum booth every Sunday, so we need drummers. We always need more guitar players. We always need more keyboards players, bass players, singers. I mean, the door's wide open, so come see us if you'd like to be a part of that team. They're down here today for further prayer. If you'd like further prayer, if you'd like to be baptized today, we'll baptize you today if you missed last Sunday. God bless you. We love you. If you're a college student, go check in at the table out there and say hi to Albert. You are dismissed. We love you.